Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined by Richard Pollack, one of our country's most intrepid and most valued investigative reporters these days. He reports for the Daily Caller, but this is just one of a number of important positions he's held in the Fourth Estate. He has been the bureau chief for PJ Media, a Washington producer for Good Morning America, and a senior producer for Fox News Sunday, among other incarnations. His work these days at the Daily Caller is extraordinarily important, and we're always happy to catch up with him to take stock a bit of what he has been finding and what its implications are for the national security. Richard Pollack, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
You've been on top of this issue of the unmasking of individuals in the name, apparently, of political warfare against the Trump team by the Obama team. Give us a flavor of what you've found so far.
Well, what we now know is that hundreds of Trump aides, both those with the campaign and those in the transition period, were targeted by the Obama administration by unmasking these different aides when they had conversations by telephone with foreign leaders or with foreign principals. Now, unmasking is something that is done when there is a potential crime that is being committed and federal officials need to know the identity of Americans who are being picked up by the National Security Agency. Unmasking happens all the time if there is a concern that some laws have been broken. However, if there are no claims of wrongdoing, federal officials cannot know the identity of these Americans because there are a tremendous number of Americans who talk to all sorts of people overseas, legally, lawfully. And however, what we do know now is there were at least four officials in the Obama administration, including now Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes, who called up various Trump officials and took a look at the transcripts of their conversations and then leaked them to the press. And all of that is flatly against the law.
Ben Rhodes, of course, was a notorious operative within the Obama administration, lying about the Iran deal and forging the breakthrough with Cuba and the like. So I guess it shouldn't surprise us that he was also using, or abusing, I might say, the power of the intelligence community for political warfare purposes. It's a little more surprising to me that Samantha Power at the United Nations was also taking advantage of this kind of opportunity. What do you make of that, Richard Pollack?
Well, we find it an extraordinary discovery. A U.S. ambassador anywhere in the world, including at the United Nations, should have very, very few reasons to ask for the unmasking of officials. Their job is to represent the government of the United States before other foreign governments or before forums like the UN. It seems inconceivable in my conversations with law enforcement officials and those in the intelligence world that she would have a need the unmasking of hundreds of Trump officials. And it's very clear to me now that the uptick in unmasking appears to have occurred after the November elections, which makes this all the more suspect that intelligence information was being used for political purposes by the Obama administration.
And what about Ben Rhodes' boss and the former UN ambassador, Susan Rice? What do we know about her role in this unmasking scandal?
Well, just to get the complete picture very quickly, Samantha Power, Ben Rhodes, the deputy to Susan Rice, and Susan Rice herself, who was a national security director, and CIA director John Brennan, all are being fingered as people who unmasked these Trump officials, and the allegation is leaked some of this information to reporters. So Susan Rice was clearly in the center of the National Security Council, and apparently her fingerprints are on it. And I might add, as I previously reported, there were so many Trump officials that were being surveilled that Susan Rice actually asked for a spreadsheet to be developed by the National Security Agency of all of these people so they could keep track of them.
Hone their utility, presumably, for their political purposes. Let me ask you about one piece of this that is very much a current question. In April of this year, apparently, as evidence of this scandal was becoming known, the National Security Advisor under President Trump, namely H.R. McMaster, seems to have given a carte blanche to Susan Rice to have access to classified information and personally vouched for her reliability in handling such sensitive information. What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, there have been a number of calls over the last year for security clearances to be pulled for former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton because of her total disregard of government security measures with her private email server, and also of Susan Rice, particularly given the fact that it appears evidence is showing us that she was at the heart of the unmasking scandal that is unfolding before us. And I find it completely extraordinary that the Trump National Security Advisor, apparently without consulting with the president, gave Susan Rice carte blanche national security clearance at the highest levels of security secrets for this country. And I think that given the fact that she is under investigation by a number of different congressional committees, including the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, that her security clearance should either be downgraded significantly or pulled altogether. So it's quite troubling that Masters privately gave this authority to Susan Rice.
It is troubling. I think it's only one of the many examples of very troubling behavior by H.R. McMaster, and I hope it will result in his termination as well as the end of her security clearances. Let me ask you finally, if I may, very quickly and in a very general way, Richard Pollack, to describe what you have been finding out about the Clinton pay-to-play operation when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. And if you could, whether you would address the question as to whether this is an important topic for investigation, or as some are now saying, well, it's just going after a political loser who suggests a sort of banana republic kind of approach. Your thoughts on those questions?
Well, it's very interesting because even though Hillary Clinton has left the public scene, we are still picking up sort of the crumbs leading us to all sorts of outrageous behavior by Secretary Clinton with the donors to the Clinton Foundation. The latest discovery was that one of her very close friends and also a Clinton donor, Muhammad Yunus, who's from Bangladesh, was under a corruption investigation by the government when he was running Grameen Bank, which he was the managing director. And apparently Hillary Clinton, in a number of really brass knuckle ways, tried to bully Bangladesh to stop the corruption probe of her donor, of the Clinton Foundation donor. And in fact, it looks like Clinton was successful at getting the World Bank to pull a $1.2 billion loan to Bangladesh in retaliation for the government's insistence on continuing this corruption probe, which there were allegations, among other things, that this particular man had diverted at least $100 million of money that was supposed to go to the bank to his own private entities. And in a country where the average per capita income is $1,000, the idea that this man should have been facing corruption charges of this magnitude means the government had to go forward with it. And it looks like that Hillary conscripted the assistant secretary for South Asia to personally go and meet with the prime minister and pull her off this investigation. It appears that two sitting U.S. ambassadors to Bangladesh also gave warnings to the prime minister and the foreign minister. And it looks like they even got the World Bank to issue threats to Bangladesh unless they stopped this investigation. They did not. And Bangladesh lost the $1.2 billion loan that they were and this is just another sort of saga of the pay-to-play history of the Clintons. And so while she is sort of in the shadows to a certain extent, I think that her scandals live on
and they need to be investigated. Thank you for what you do in this regard, Richard Pollack. I hope the Congress of the United States will do the same. Keep up the good work at the Daily Caller, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Thank you so much for taking the time today. Next up, we will be speaking with Stephen Bryan about our missile defenses and what we could learn from the Israelis, perhaps, and more. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.